I'm Ash Pemberton, and this is CNX Podcast, the Chiang Mai community podcast, where local businesses, brands, and interesting people get heard. Insurance salesman by day and superstar DJ by night.
I first came here in 1999, just came here for a few months and travelled around a bit, and I liked the landscape of it and everything. Next thing I knew, I brought my turntables over here, was DJing. On the higher end, God forbid, but if, you know, someone, a family's involved in a serious road traffic accident, depending on which hospital you go to, it could run into the millions, really. If you compare it to the US, if you've applied for health insurance and let's say the premium was $6,000, you can say, I'll put that $6,000 aside, but make sure you do it. Perhaps more polite to each other until you get to know someone, a lurking Thai, for you to swear with a Thai person. You have to really get to know them. It takes a little while before you start using slang and things like that. You're much more polite. Whereas in English, you could meet someone and get a sense for them and probably start using some blue language quite early on. I just recently DJed in Bangkok, actually. So the equipment tested out all nicely, which, like, if you're a DJ, that's one of the most important things. You want everything to be working good.
Yo, hello and welcome, a massive welcome. It's the one and only, it's Mr. Andy Williams. Hello and welcome to my studio.
Hello.
Andy, I've known you, what, a decade?
Yeah, I would say so, around about that, yeah, at least a decade or 10 years.
10 years, as we say. One of the first people I ever met in Chiang Mai, certainly one of the people that I first became friends with, you are Andy, insurance salesman by day and superstar DJ by night.
It has been known for me to DJ, yeah. I just recently DJed in Bangkok, actually. So
tell me, how did that go?
The equipment tested out all nicely, which, like, if you're a DJ, that's one of the most important things. You want everything to be working good. But it wasn't one of the best gigs I've ever played at, so it was good enough.
Why wasn't it one of the best?
When you're DJ, you want to share the music that you've got and you want people up and dancing. And
right.
Yeah, and the layout and everything of it was different to what I expected. You know, people were sort of more there. They'd had big conference throughout the day and people had got filtered through to there in the evening. And then they had this big sort of Thai style, that crazy show going on with like fireworks and stuff and really loud banging music before I'd got on. And people were just watching the spectacle. And then so I got on after that. And yeah, I had like dancers coming on. And when I got up, I just changed it, lowered the tone a bit and then worked up from there. And yeah, but I played for 2 hours and I'd say by about the last 45 minutes, you could see that we're in Bangkok. These people have flown in from all over the world and it's just, right, should we stay in this small area here and just watch this guy finish off his set or go out into Bangkok and enjoy the nightlife of Bangkok? And yeah, so the last 45 minutes are just emptied out.
Oh. You emptied the dance floor.
I'd like to think I didn't empty the dance floor. I'd like to think the temptation of Bangkok was what drew them away.
And that was for Affiliate World, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
That's a pretty good gig to do.
Promoter who used to book me back in the day, I didn't realize. I thought she was just the organizing the music and the entertainment, but she was actually organizing the whole event. She told me they'd had 5,500 people there during the day.
Cool. Is she an event organizer for Affiliate World or is she just like working in Bangkok?
Not for Affiliate World, no. She works for, I forget what the name of the company is, but anyone I've mentioned it to here seems to know it.
Yeah.
They organize a lot of big events and yeah, she was solely in charge of organizing the Bangkok event.
Yeah.
Quite a big thing for her.
Yeah, useful contact, especially for someone like me who's trying to break into Bangkok conferences and events.
Yeah, yeah. Should be someone to speak to. I could set you up with a meet.
You know what I don't you?
Go on, tell me what you do.
I've relaunched myself this year as a conference MC. I have declared my mission for no more boring conferences.
Right.
I like to involve the audience, the participants, and link them to the speakers, make sure sponsors get their value for money. And just try and use my people skills to kind of add more value to a conference. Truthfully, it's the most purpose that I've ever had in my working day. You know, I've been designing PowerPoint presentations for 25 years. If I try and do that work now, age 49, I get very tired. 4 hours of that and I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
But when I do conference MCing, I can work 10 hours straight on very little sleep, running on fumes, really. What about you? How long's the most you've DJed for? What was the longest set you've played?
4 or 5 hours, something like that. And exactly the same. And I think it's due to being passionate about it. The time just flies by. I don't even notice it.
Yeah.
took the 2 hour set that I just played. It felt a bit longer just because it wasn't exactly how I'd have liked it to have been, but people are up and dancing and enjoying what you're doing, then I could just DJ all the problem. Yeah.
So let's pull this back to Chiang Mai, because you originally, I don't know if this was your original thing, but you're quite well known for DJing at Warm Up.
Yeah.
And Warm Up, for people who don't know, is the club in Nimmin Haemun. Predominantly Thai, right? Not many international or foreign go to it. Is that right or not?
Yeah, I'd say so. I would say probably like 90% Thai people are in there.
Yeah. And why is Warm Up so famous? Why has it been going 25 years? What's so good about it?
Actually, I mean, they've got a good story. They started 17 or 18 years ago. Originally, they opened up a small bar, which was over by the river, by Riverside Restaurant. And there were like five guys who went to university together, grew up together. They were all entrepreneurial guys. They opened up this bar just for something fun to do. And they all drove Vespas, which was pretty cool at the time. A lot of people were drawn to it. And anyone who had a Vespa seemed to have quite a sort of a good looking girlfriend. So there was good looking women there. And then they just went on from that venue and people spilled out into the street. So they had to move on to somewhere else to be bigger. That wasn't enough. And then another bigger venue. I think this might be the fourth one that they're at. It's just become an institution. If you talk to someone in Bangkok, everyone in Bangkok, if they know anything about Chiang Mai, they do know Warm Up. Super, super successful and really nice guys as well that own it. Personal friends of mine.
They've grown to be friends of yours, or they were, and that's why they hired you.
They've grown to be friends of mine. I was DJing here. I wasn't really getting too much work at the time. And a couple of friends here who had a DJ shop, they would get work. And I was just playing at this place that was pretty quiet on the night. And while I was DJing, one of the owners just come up to me afterwards and said, look, we're opening up a room called The Lounge. And he just said, I'd love for you to come in and be like one of the first DJs that play in there. So I think I DJed in there for something like 12 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was there for a long time.
You were the resident DJ.
I was the resident DJ. I ended up being the longest serving DJ there at one point. I thought I played in there on the opening night of The Lounge, which was, as you walk into the main entrance of Warm Up, there's a separate room over on the left. It's no longer there anymore, but they'd opened that up with the idea to play more sort of niche house music, and that's what I did.
You say you were DJing for 10 years, and you haven't DJed there for a while. So what was this, 15 years ago or something?
Probably haven't DJed in Warm Up 8 years, something like that.
So we're talking 20 years ago. How long have you been in Chiang Mai?
I've been here for 21 years.
You're kidding me. Yeah. Oh man, let's just go straight into that. You've been in Chiang Mai for 21 years.
I have, yeah, yeah.
Okay. How has it kept you? A lot of people come here because they want clean living, or they want the family environment, or they move for schooling. What brought you in and what's kept you? What's the magic of Chiang Mai for Andy Williams?
I first came here in 1999, just came here for a few months and traveled around a bit, south of Bangkok. And when I got to Chiang Mai, I just had this feeling, this sort of sense of normality here. And in the south at the time, my feeling was that as a tourist, you know, you're part of their income. That's not how I feel now, but certainly at the time, I just felt a bit more relaxed in Chiang Mai. And I liked the landscape of it and everything. I went across to Australia for a bit from there and then just decided after that, you know what, I think I'm going to come back to Thailand, specifically Chiang Mai, and see if I can give it a go. Things have just seemed to have worked themselves out, as life does. You just meet someone and an opportunity opens, and then when that opportunity opens, something else does. And next thing I knew, I brought my turntables over here, was DJing. And
I get what you mean about the thing that you liked more about Chiang Mai than living in somewhere like Phuket was that people here just weren't trying to take you for your money. That's not really the Chiang Mai way, is it? The locals here, they're not trying to exploit every little last bit of tourist dollar. You know, in the old city where people are making their living out of tourists, sure, we're talking about everyday people here in Chiang Mai.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's actually quite unique. No one else has actually said that to me about Chiang Mai.
Yeah.
But no, I get it.
The other thing that really drew me in as well was that the language just sounded so fascinating. And I thought, oh, I couldn't imagine trying to learn it. But I got a phrase book and started learning a few words here and there, and they started to stick. And then when you used them on Thai people, the reaction you got was just huge smiles. And oh my God, you can speak fluent Thai. And no, you know, I just know a couple of words. And it was so encouraging compared to other countries that I previously lived in, like in France. I didn't find them quite as encouraging when you speak a little bit of French. I got really into learning the language, and my family seems to be quite good with languages. So I just picked it up really quickly, that the tones weren't an issue for me. And I'd say I could speak it fluently, talk my way in and out of any situation.
I know you can. I've seen it. And I actually say about you that you mastered the language. And you said that you have one friend in particular that you only have and always do speak Thai to. So you would have, I imagine, like a completely different relationship. And my question to you is, do you think Thai Andy has a different personality to English Andy?
That's a great question.
Tell me the differences. tell me why that is. Is it because you're restricted by the language, or is it the language guides you into being a certain way? Are you much politer?
I think both. Yeah, I'm definitely more polite in Thai. Yeah, some of the language that I use, if I think, would I say that same phrase in English? There's not a chance on earth that I would say. You do get guided by the language and the culture. It's like typical here that if you just meet someone off the bat and you'd say, oh, you look beautiful straight away. Whereas I might not say that in English immediately to someone.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, funnily enough, I remember a few years ago, I was at some networking event and a Thai woman there that actually I only speak Thai to, but she speaks good English, but that's just the way the relationship has been. And then I turned round to someone in English. And when I turned back to her, her face was in shock and she said, oh my God, it's like you have two different personalities when you speak each language. So yeah, interesting that you would know that or even think that. Yeah.
Well, that actually was something that I observed. When I saw a boyfriend and a girlfriend talking together, a Thai girl with her English boyfriend, yeah. And she turned around and she said, you're so much nicer when you're speaking Thai. And he was learning the language. He hadn't mastered the language at all. So for him, it was because he was limited. He only really knew how to say nice things. So that's all he ended up saying.
Perhaps more polite to each other until you get to know someone lurking Thai. For you to swear with a Thai person, you have to really get to know them. It takes a little while before you start using slang and things like that. You're much more polite. Whereas in English, you could meet someone and get a sense for them and probably start using some blue language quite early on.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to talk to you a little bit about insurance. What I'm trying to do with this podcast is introduce the rest of the community to some of the more interesting and useful and good connected people that I know in Chiang Mai. Because I've been here 9 years and I'm pretty sociable and I have lots and lots of different networks. And I just thought, I'm sure I can add some value and a bit of a community podcast and just introduce people. But I always recommend you as my insurance agent. You are just the absolute man on the ground to be able to negotiate insurance claims, policies, understand the Thai way to make things work. Could you tell me just one or two stories or ideas about what you do for your customers?
A good example is going to be yourself. You were away, I think you were away on work and then your wife and family were here. One of your kids took a tumble and which broke a bone.
Yeah, it was Harper, my little boy. We'll go back to the story, but he wrote me a letter recently for Father's Day and he went, Dad, thanks for teaching me for riding my bike, even though I've fallen off many times hurt myself. So it was one of those where he fell off and landed on his face. I think he cut his chin quite deeply and needed stitches. And my wife was alone. She knew we had insurance. Her first reaction for anything like that is go to the best hospital. So she took him straight to Bangkok Hospital.
Perhaps the hospital weren't 100% sure as to whether it would be covered because I don't think he had an overnight stay. They decided to perform some kind of surgery. And it was obviously where he needed the stitches. But I think at the time it was a sizable bill. And the insurance company had said that the policy that you have, it has no outpatient cover. This is an outpatient procedure. We're not going to pay for it. So then you'd contacted me and said to me, look, what's going on here? My insurance hasn't paid. My wife Kim's at hospital. She's going out of her mind here. And then I got involved and then I looked at it, the medical report, and I'd seen that the part of the procedure, because he was in such pain, they'd given him anesthesia. That was the key word. As it had anesthesia, it was considered as an invasive surgical procedure. Even though he didn't need to stay in overnight, it was a surgical procedure. And so it would then be qualified for coverage. And so I'd passed that over to the insurer, which is ACS, a French company. And as soon as they saw that, the claim got turned around and they paid it. In that situation, if I hadn't got involved in that, obviously yourself not working in the industry unlikely would have unearthed that and got that paid.
I wouldn't have got to the bottom of that for sure. Yeah, you definitely earned your premiums that year. My very basic understanding, and most people will probably know this, but the difference between in and outpatient coverage is if you stay overnight, you are considered an inpatient. And my policy only covers inpatient
treatment.
Treatment.
Yeah, and then outpatients, you get some food poisoning. You might go to hospital, you're in and out with some medication, that's a clear-cut outpatient procedure, and then there's absolutely no coverage for that.
Is that true for all insurance policies or just the ones that people tend to buy here?
If you have an invasive surgical procedure that doesn't require an overnight stay, then it will be covered as well.
Mm-hmm. You also founded a group healthcare policy. Is this still going?
It's still going. I set it up via the Chiang Mai Expats Club. Back at the time, Nancy Lin Lee was the president of the club, who sadly passed not so long ago. But when she was the president, she was involved with this group called Lana CareNet, which helped people that found themselves hospitalized. Perhaps they didn't have any family members, and she would get involved and help them through that situation and perhaps repatriate them to the States if needed. And she did an absolutely amazing job doing that. And so she had a vested interest in getting people insurance, because she could see what it was like if someone doesn't have insurance, the medical bills that you end up incurring. Coincidentally, at the time, I was a sponsor of the club, and I had an idea of putting together a group health insurance policy for the club. And I approached Nancy. She was 100% on board. The mission next was then to find an insurer to use, because the group policies only exist in the workplace. One of the insurers that I've been working with for many years, Healthcare International, I approached them. They were hungry enough for the business that they said, we'll put a specialized group together for the club if you can get 20 members, the applications filled in, ready to sign up, and then they would launch the group. So I had 20 applications ready. They flew specially over to Thailand, gave a presentation to the club. It probably took me about 18 months, I think, to jump through all the hoops and get everything sorted. And
cool. And that policy is obviously very inclusive. But what is the benefit? Is that you get a discount on the amount you pay for insurance?
Yeah. So if you join that group, you get a 10% discount on the premium.
Worth doing.
Definitely worth doing. Yeah, absolutely.
And older people or people with predetermined medical conditions, do they still struggle to get good insurance here in Thailand?
Typically speaking, pre-existing conditions, insurers won't cover them. It depends on the condition. So, you know, if it was something that was linked to your heart, or something that was linked to cancer, or if you had diabetes, those things, they just, off the bat, the insurers are just not going to cover them. You could still get insurance, but they'll just exclude those conditions and okay. cover everything else.
What do people do if, let's say, I'm in my 70s and I've got diabetes? Do I just have to live an uninsured life?
Yeah, basically, as long as you can be strict and do it, people do what they call self-insure and put X amount of money aside. If you've applied for health insurance and let's say the premium was $6,000, you can say, well, I'll put that $6,000 aside, but make sure you do it.
Yeah.
Because so many people, I'll meet them and then they'll just say, do you know what? I'm not going to go for this insurance. I'll put the money aside. I see them next time. Have you put that money aside? No, they haven't.
No. Sure. Just final couple of questions on insurance. I'm a family of four, so there's me, my wife, two kids. What sort of money should I expect to pay for health insurance for my family? And what am I insuring against? What's the worst kind of bills that you would expect an uninsured family might face?
On the higher end, God forbid, but if, you know, someone, a family's involved in a serious road traffic accident, depending on which hospital you go to, it could run into the millions, really. Let's be absolutely honest. If you compare it to the US, then obviously it's a lot more affordable medical care here than it is in the US. And particularly with a family, you're in Chiang Mai, you're probably going to choose the Chiang Mai Ram or Bangkok Hospital, which are the two well-known good service hospitals here. You want to go to those hospitals, and if you've got insurance, you're able to do that.
Mm. Chiang Mai Ram and Bangkok Hospital, I think, are the international hospitals. Are they in the others?
They all give good levels of service. As Westerners here, I think, are more attracted to somewhere like Bangkok Hospital or Chiang Mai Ram. Depending on your budget, I think, or if you've got insurance, a government hospital, they're not going to speak. The English is not going to be as good there. It's not going to be as sort of plush a hospital. In Italy, if you've had a heart attack or something like that, you want to be in a nice, clean environment with staff that speak English, that's going to help you just feel more at ease at a time of vulnerability.
Good one. Thanks.
That was CNX Podcast.